people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. I am Mickey, and we have around the table...
Becca.
Andrew.
Sergeant Conlon.
Ben.
And we are recording, as always, in the beautiful city of Atlanta at Strongbox West over here on the west side of town. I think we have a pretty interesting agenda today. Sergeant...
Conlon
yeah. is here to talk about flipping cars. And as Becca was saying a second ago, not in the way that the Dukes of Hazzard would ever do it.
Yes.
But so you, first of all, you are currently employed by a law enforcement agency.
Yes, one of the metro ones, yeah.
You've been in the business a long time.
Yes.
How long?
30 years of law enforcement total since, I guess, I started in 1990
mm-hmm.
at Stone Mountain Park and then moved on from there. And I've been in my current job or agency for 21 years.
21 years. And wow. What do you do for them now?
I'm the motor vehicle theft supervisor
mm-hmm.
and just motor vehicle theft. And for the last, I guess it's 2009, I've been supervising it. And before that, I was a detective for motor vehicle theft for 3 or 4 years. I can't remember. And before I got promoted, I went back out the road for a couple more years and went back to detectives.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure there's no shortage of work in that area.
No, there's plenty.
So is Atlanta worse or the same as other cities in regards to what gets stolen, how often stuff gets stolen? Or
the number one way in most of Atlanta, probably most of Georgia, is people leave their keys in the car. That's 80% of thefts. Easy.
I can't believe people do that.
Absolutely. And the proximity keys have made it worse because people don't intentionally then, especially if you live in an apartment or something,
right.
they stay too close. They don't even need your key.
Yeah.
And they just take your car with you. Right. You leave it by the door.
Right, right.
Like on Big Bang, they always throw it in that bowl right by the door. And they have to, if your car is parked outside, it's going to go.
As long as it's in range, it's going to go away.
Yeah.
All right. So outside of just simple mistakes, then, you know, we're talking about turning cars into a crime of opportunity, basically.
That and then there's lots of fraud. I would say Atlanta's pretty high up there in fraudulently obtaining cars.
Okay.
Which is a whole, I could go on for a long time about that, too.
Yeah. And I would like to talk about that sometime. But today we're going to talk about flipping cars because we touched on that a little in the past. And Georgia apparently has some laws that says a person is allowed to only do a few of those a year or something like that?
The Georgia law is it does have a lot of gray areas and it's very confusing, and especially it's confusing the law enforcement and the officers. We actually, because of all the fraud that goes on now, we go into these a lot as far as car sales, like especially there's over 4,000 auto brokers in Georgia. And to be a broker, basically all those cubicles that were out there, stuff like that, you need a phone and they'll give you a used car dealer. Like there's a bunch of other things you have to do, take a class and things like that. But once you have that, then you get the car dealer license and you can go to auctions and they give you dealer plates and you can issue temporary tags, which is where all the openings for the fraud and everything else comes in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But and also Georgia law is confusing. It says if you sell one car for profit, just one, you're required to keep records and everything else, just like you were a car dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sell five, you're automatically considered a dealer, which means if something happens criminally and you have sold five cars, they don't have to prove anything else.
Right.
Just to show that there was five cars. If it's just one, we'd have to show that you actually were doing it for profit.
Huh.
So, and it opens up all these different laws that have to be filed as far as record keeping and what you're required to do. It says there's lots of laws that goes over, and they're not in the usual code sections that a lot of police officers look at.
So a guy like me, if I simply bought a car and I drove it around for a few months and I happened to sell it a few months later for a profit, am I in trouble?
Well, it depends how you did it initially.
Mm-hmm.
The main way to stay out of trouble if you want to flip a car is just transfer it to your name. Pay the tax on it. It's the ad valorem tax. Because if you transfer the title to your name and titled in your name, then it's your car. That's where the selling of five comes in. Because if you title it to your name, you're driving around,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be extremely difficult for anybody to prove you did it for profit because you're using it. And then you're done with it and you're going to just get rid of it.
So as long as you pay ad valorem on it, it's legit.
Right. If you transfer the title to your name and then so it's your car,
okay,
you're pretty safe because then it's literally your car. You paid the tax on it. And you can just, if you are going to sell it later, you just build that into your cost, of course.
Yeah.
So the problem comes in with just the title, basically.
Yes.
As long as you're bringing them into your name, then it's different. But
correct.
If they're not being put into your name, that's where
you'll see this. If you ever buy used cars for anyone, you'll see if you get that title from the guy and it's like the title will say Mary Smith on it,
mm-hmm.
which you're talking to Tony. And Tony's name's not anywhere on there. And so now there's already all kinds of legal problem.
Right.
But it's common. It's very common. Probably a lot of the cars you'll see on Craig, like I said, offer up Facebook, all these different places to do that. Like they'll buy the car, they'll use it for a while, but they never transferred their name.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be in the purchaser's part or the seller part, it'll already be filled out. And they leave the purchaser part blank. That way when they flip it, they keep all the profit that
gotcha.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
So then the person goes to the tag office and just registers it. 99 out of 100 times, nothing goes wrong. But something goes wrong, now you got a problem because mm-hmm. actually you, the buyer, you didn't buy it from Tony, from Mary. You bought mm-hmm. it from Tony and you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already an issue now for you too. So if you start going after the other person, it just makes it a big mess and hard to deal with.
Right, right.
And that's assuming all the titles are real too, because right. you'll come across some that are just completely fake, particularly out of state titles.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I learned a long time ago that certain codes and things don't transfer between states with different systems.
Right.
And they can clean titles by transferring it to X state where it doesn't translate and bring it back in that. That's yes. another way that people have gotten around things.
It gets even more complicated. You start talking about out-of-state titles because there's right. extra taxes. And if it's like you're trying to bring a car from out-of-state into Georgia, you're going to have to pay more. And also they – I can't even think of all the forms. But if you go to the DMV website, it has them all. But it's harder to bring a car into the state mm-hmm. that's not already titled here.
Mm-hmm.
So. Interesting. So back to the subject of actually flipping cars and how – I want to ask you how to do that legally.
Well, that would be the main ways to keep records. Like if yeah. you buy the car, who you got it from and yeah. – a bill of sale, like if you have the title, you don't necessarily need a bill of sale, but if you have a bill of sale from the person you bought it from, you're supposed to keep the record. This is where the laws come in. If you sold it for profit, you just have to keep those records for 3 years.
Okay.
And then, so as long as you keep records and stuff, and it even goes into parts. Like if you buy transmissions and engines, you're supposed to do the same thing. You're supposed to keep records for 3 years.
Even if you're not flipping the car.
Even if you're not flipping the car.
If you buy and sell or sold a transmission.
Transmissions and engines, then you're supposed to keep that for 3 years.
Oops.
And it's actually, and not doing it is actually a misdemeanor. It's a crime.
No kidding.
Actually, I get picked on for how much I keep. I've kept records on batteries, but it's actually helped me because batteries have warranties.
And, oh, yeah.
So it's always just good to keep any record on something like your car anyways. But just don't do a cash deal, I would say, on this is a big thing. Yeah, because
make sure you document it. If they start getting right. sketchy, like they start, you should realize real quick for their behavior that something's wrong.
Right,
or they're trying
right.
to put something over on you anyway.
Right, right.
So that comes into buying. You just said the cash deal. You definitely want to try to buy something if you're looking to flip, something that's for cash that's low in price, mm-hmm. and then you want to buy something that you're going to be able to turn around for more. Obviously, that's kind of the mm-hmm. gist of it. You want to be able to turn something into cash. So when you factor that in, though, if you're buying a car that's really, really cheap, but its value is really high, let's say that car hasn't run in 3 years, you're going to owe 3 years back taxes to the state plus a percentage of its value in ad valorem. So I've actually bought a truck that I didn't end up selling. I ended up keeping it. I bought it for like $500 and owed $700 in taxes on the truck itself,
holy
which
mackerel.
Overshot the value of the vehicle at that point, what I could sell it for in its current condition. Mm-hmm. So then I'm just stuck with it.
Sure.
And that doesn't have to happen, but most people, unless they, when they sell the car, if they don't go cancel their registration and stuff, then the taxes keep building.
Huh.
So even if it's from another county, like say they lived in Fulton County and they yeah. sell it to you out there, when you go to register it, they're going to see that it's owed back taxes and they're going to,
yeah.
They only charge you the back three. Like on his, it goes back 10 years that was owed, but they only do three.
But like on my Pontiac where all the ad valorem was yeah. paid up front, I really just owe them however many years for the tag and...
Well, on those ones, the newer ones, I don't even think it applies anymore because there is no more ad valorem. But there's just the initial purchase tax. So that person already paid it. And then it's just a
yeah,
licensing
it's,
fee.
Yeah,
so it's
already been paid, but the car hasn't passed the past two emissions and
so
she's just
wanna,
been sitting there.
So if I want to make a living flipping cars, what do I need to do?
Well, to find these cars for really cheap, you can, of course, scour Craigslist, but then you're going to run into people who have fake titles or out-of-state titles and things like that. I definitely recommend the wrecker auctions. Cars that are wrecked more than likely were two things, running and driving when they were wrecked. So you can find them cheap if bodywork is your forte. If you're looking for something that has mechanical issues, again, the wrecker auctions. If it broke down on the side of the road and they picked it up and somebody couldn't afford to get it out, now it's going to auction and it might just be a bad fuel pump or somebody ran out of gas.
Right.
And I have got gotten that lucky before. I went there specifically to buy a project for school, and I got a 1993 Ford Explorer that I paid $25 for.
Shut the front door.
I got home. This thing, they sold, and when you buy it from a wrecker, they give you a court order for the title. So you're going to get,
you get an abandonment
a
form.
Clean title to that car. There's no, somebody had a lien on it. There's no, it's a fake title. You're getting a court order for that title. So it's a lot safer to do it that way. Uh-huh. So with $25, this vehicle only had 79,000 miles on it. The fuel pump had died on it. I put gas in it. I put a windshield in it. Now I had a running, driving, perfectly good Amazing. Car.
I would never be that lucky.
It just happened that a year, well, less than a year, probably about 8 months later, my friend was looking for a car, and he was also going to school. And I was like, well, I got this 93 Ford that I've just been using in my backyard because it's fun.
I remember you mentioning the Explorer.
And I ended up selling it for $800. I didn't do anything else to it. So in that regard, you could call that a flip then, because I bought it. I didn't really intend to sell it. Yeah. But at that point, somebody needed one. I titled it to myself. And of course, you know, being a 93, it doesn't need emissions in the state of Georgia once it's 25 years old. So you get to avoid that problem.
Right.
And then of course, selling it for $800, he's not really getting a bad deal either for something with that low a mileage.
Right, right.
So in that regard, that's a great way to start when you go to these wrecker auctions.
I should have got it.
And another thing too, if you go to the wrecker auctions, if they pull for a police department, because all the jurisdictions have, they sell these cars at auction. Mm. If sometimes you can find out from the people that are there, was somebody arrested in this car? And that means it was running and driving when it got stopped, and then they just couldn't afford they couldn't afford the wrecker fees, so they just give it up.
Interesting.
I won't go into any personal stories, but I know that some that go to auction are flood damage, so look for
I thought for a minute there you were going to say that you had gotten arrested.
I don't admit to that. Shh.
So when you're talking about flood damage at the wrecker auctions, they liquidate their assets every 90 days. So if there hasn't been a big hurricane or anything here lately, you're pretty safe in that regard. And also when you go to these wrecker auctions, a lot of times they crank them up. They'll move them forward and backwards to prove it goes into gear, and then they try to sell it for more. So you do see that it's running and driving.
Yeah, they get more money if it's running. So
sure. Yeah, but flood damage is not about running or driving. It's what's happening to the electrical system.
That's a risk at every auction or Craigslist or anything. You know, somebody could have a clean Georgia title, but it was in Texas during that hurricane, and then now you have no idea. They could have just not reported it to
Carfax is great for that, but so is Google. We had an incident where some people drove down here from Tennessee to buy a 2015 camera. I can't remember what year. It was an Accord. Great deal. It was on Facebook. It was on Craigslist from a private seller. Mm-hmm. I did air quotes. And they said, the guy bought the car. He had a title. It wasn't his name, which was a clue. And when he got home, he Googled the VIN. He just Googled it and said flood car.
Oh.
And if you check Carfax, it says it on there. And a lot of the titles now from Texas and the other, anywhere the hurricane wiped out, it'll say it.
Yes.
Because the way they do it is they rip all the interior out, like strip it down to nothing, and they dry the car out and then put it back together where they get it running. But they didn't even get back to Tennessee, and it started doing weird things with lights and stuff because of the water damage, like what you were talking about. And just
See, I've got such a story, and I don't know what kind of time we've got, but so much of this goes into something with a previous car. And, you know, what I've learned that just titling, getting information from previous titles has changed a lot now. Yeah. It used to be that the information on previous titles were more readily available. Now you have to go through all this proof. If you order something like a Carfax, it no longer comes with previous title numbers. You have to do more legwork.
No, it just says what state and stuff like that.
Yeah, it used to come with title numbers. So are you saying that there is time if I can kind of? Okay, so I don't mean to pick on one of my Mustangs, but...
I mean, we're sitting here bouncing around this, but there's a ton I want to ask. You know, it's like, obviously, one of the questions is, how do I avoid being defrauded? How do I, you know, but anyway, if
mine isn't informational, it's just a personal story. So, it was a 96 Mustang that I had bought off of a local Ford lot. I'll leave it there. Where does it even start? Okay. Maybe it was only a few months after I had purchased the car that I was involved in a car accident, and it started this domino effect. I had noticed some various electrical issues, what I used to call the disco parlor, when you were driving down the road at night. And I had kind of ruled out the alternator, and I was really still starting to learn electrical system back. This is where it started at. So I didn't know it when this was starting. That's how I learned electrical. I knew something was wrong. But then once the car accident happened and I took it back to the dealership to be repaired, when I got it back, it went in with $1,500 worth of damage, came out with $3,000 worth of damage. The dealership is not around anymore, FYI. But, you know, just trying to document what's wrong, what wasn't pre-existing, all this. And I started looking around and I found what I knew as salvage writing, the people that would write on parts in salvage yards. And I knew that because I spent my childhood cataloging my dad's salvage parts. So that started the whole title chase. And back then, you know, you order something like a Carfax and you get this report back that, like I was saying, had title numbers and estate. So it gave you more of a lead where to go and what you're looking for. And what I had discovered through all of this paper chasing, the car had been originally used as a rental car, had only been used as a rental car for a very short time when it was rear-ended. It was rear-ended bad enough, you know, remember gas tanks and all, it had been rear-ended bad enough that it was totaled out and sold at auction for some bizarre reason. To make it worse, the person who bought it was a rebuilder in South Georgia. And if anybody's been around long enough to remember the South Georgia floods, okay, it's already been salvaged. It's sitting on a rebuilder's lot when it's flooded. So now there's some of the issues right there. But
that's a winner.
Then they sent the title to North Carolina, titled it up in North Carolina, brought it back, titled it in Georgia, and it scrubbed off the salvage and any of the other flood codes that it had. It scrubbed it clean. So I think technically the only thing that really showed up on the Carfax was the initial rental car.
Yeah, the flood will only show up if it's an insurance claim, and that's how it pops up.
But it was...
And there wasn't one. So
I did eventually find it, and I can't remember exactly how I discovered that there was flood involved. There was some paper trail I was able to find, probably thanks to the rebuilder not being too shady. But I learned a lot through the process, a whole lot. But now I've tried things like that, and they don't give you the title numbers on your Carfax, and you have to be a registered current owner of that vehicle now to even ask questions. And
well, talking about the salvage titles, that would be something if you were looking to flip cars. Definitely avoid the salvage title or the rebuilt title. In the state of Georgia, if you get a rebuilt title, which I just went through this, I bought a salvage Camry and had to get it rebuilt to a rebuilt title, but I bought it from a customer who couldn't afford to fix it. So they were given a Tennessee title when they bought it from somebody, but it was a rebuilt Tennessee title. That holds no value in the state of Georgia. It becomes a salvage title immediately. It's going to be needing an inspection. And on a 92, which hasn't needed emissions in very long, most people do all kinds of fun stuff to just make it keep working instead of fixing it properly. So it took a very long time to untangle that mess. So salvage and rebuilt titles, if you're just getting into flipping cars, avoid them at all costs.
Which is not to say that as an average consumer, if I wanted to just buy a car to drive and not worry about, sometimes salvage titles okay.
Well, you're going to have a fun time trying to find someone to insure it here in Atlanta, at least. Okay. Because if you have a salvage title car, there's a lot of room for people to do insurance fraud. They buy this $1 million car for a low price because it's got a salvage title, and they go crash into a pole and get a $500,000 payout. The insurance companies are really hesitant to touch you when you have a salvage title car. Now, the 92 Camry, in my example, nobody really cared. I could still get insurance on it. But in order to get it registered and plated in the state of Georgia, it has to at least be a rebuilt title. So salvage title, you can't do anything with here.
Okay. See, I did not know that either. I thought salvage, I thought there were some limitations, but I didn't realize that insurance was among them.
The salvage title brought something else up. Mm-hmm. If you get a car, you're not going to drive it, because if you bought it for yourself, it's just going to sit there. You need to transfer the title to you as soon as possible, because if it got stolen, because there's guys that drive around and they grab scrap cars up, take them to the scrap yards. They do that, and you don't have any proof that you ever owned it if you didn't title it in your name. So, because that's what the officers, they come out, they realize, like, well, this doesn't say you own this.
Right.
And
well, also parts cars. If you're buying a car that was wrecked in the back and you just want the engine out of the front, you need to register that car too, because if it's ever stolen out of your property, even though it's wrecked, you know, you still need proof that you owned it. it. And also when you go to sell the rest of the body or whatever of the car, you're still going to need that title in your name. And
you make sure it's fun at the tag office because you have to tell, I'm not driving this car.
Right.
It's not going on the road. It doesn't
fun
need
at
insurance.
The tag office.
It's just, oh, I just want the title of my name. So in case anything happens.
Well, and I'm thinking of it from the insurance perspective though, because if this is strange, but it happens, if you've got a car on your property and somebody trespasses to go over to, say, steal it or whatever, and they hurt themselves on that car, they can sue you. And if you don't have insurance on it, it's the weirdest thing. So I know.
You know, overly litigious society. And
exactly.
All that.
Well, out my coffee.
Right. That helps out too if you have a locked gate behind your house, because if they come over or through a locked gate, then they're breaking and entering at that point and they can't do anything.
I hate to say it, but there needs to be a sign as well. I used to do insurance. I did insurance for 14 years. It gets really weird when you don't post signs.
What about a junkyard dog? Is that okay?
As long as there's a sign. I'm not kidding you. That is you expressing specifically to somebody a danger involved.
Yeah,
you have to tell them. It's not that you don't own this property.
Right.
No, you have to tell them razor wire and landmines ahead, or else you're held accountable.
So
just saying.
We started off this whole conversation with the notion that you can get registered or licensed to actually deal in cars. Mm-hmm. And if I go through that process and I get the license, then it's okay for me to flip more than 5 cars a year.
Oh, of course. That makes you a used car dealer at that
point. And once you get that,
we need to do this.
Georgia is is now an electronic title state. So once you get titles and stuff, you don't have to fill in anymore. And then that's what the benefit is. You don't have to fill it, but you do have to you have to void out the title. You send it to the state, then void it out and you'll have it in your possession, and that'll be your records if the police ever show up.
Mm-hmm.
But then the state does everything electronically now. So that is actually helpful. It makes things faster.
Yep.
Well, you have to be careful too. If you're going to become a used car dealer, you need a registered commercially zoned place of business. I did go to the used car dealer class because I'm already an auto repair shop. I was definitely looking, you know, well, I already have the skill set on a slow week.
Right.
I'd love to buy some low end car and turn it into a car somebody could use because I have the skill set. You cannot run a commercial business alongside certain other commercial businesses though. So auto repair and auto sales cannot exist together in the state of Georgia. That is illegal right there.
Wait, what?
They cannot exist together. So if you're doing commercial auto repair where a customer can come in and get an oil change for a certain price, you cannot sell cars out of that same property. That's against the
commercially?
Law.
Commercially?
It is against the law, but it happens a
dealerships.
Lot.
I was going to say, I know two entities that are doing exactly
does
that.
A lot.
Yeah. If you're doing repairs to the public, if you're a car dealer and you're fixing your own cars in the back, that's different. If you're a car dealer and you're offering repairs to the public, that's a crime right there. You can't do that. Because I just recently went to this class, and that is you're not allowed to do that at all.
And the reason you see it is because there's not enough law enforcement to follow up on all those violations.
And since it's not a violent crime, they don't prioritize them.
I see. Okay. Because that was going to be my question. Philosophically, what's wrong with the notion that a person should be able to sell cars while they work on them elsewhere?
Because that one zoning is getting one tax credit. And if you put two businesses there, the man's not getting their money and they don't like you anymore.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out how do dealerships get around that.
They usually just don't care. They just do it anyway.
And there's different kinds. There's new car businesses. There's used car ones.
That only applies to used cars. So as far as a brand new car dealership, they're zoned differently.
But
so
if you go into, say, Ford dealership, you've got new cars, you've got used cars, you've got the body shop, you've got the repair shop.
But they're zoned as a new car dealership. Mm-hmm. So they have a different set of rules than if you go to be a used car dealer.
I gotcha. Well, that's what I was asking.
Right.
Yeah, and the used car dealer laws, which there's a Georgia Association used car dealers, they have all this information on their website, and they're really great. They support law enforcement, and there's also the state board of used car motor vehicle dealers, which is different. They give the classes. I think you have to pay for them to go, but you need that to get certified. And then, but all the laws is like I said, there's buildings full. Like, does anybody know what Richway? Has anybody lived in Georgia long enough to remember Richway and Target?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a Richway that there's, and inside these businesses, there's like 150 cubicles, and every single one of them is a car broker. And what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to have their vehicles on site, but they don't. And at least for part
they
of
get
the day.
That commercial address,
yeah,
and that's all they need to get the license, and then they just flip out of their house. They hardly ever show up to that cubicle,
and then so that's when they get the licenses, and that's where they get into all that other fraud I was talking about. Like we have a licensed used car dealer who has issued over 100 temporary tags but sold no cars.
Okay,
so that's
wow.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see all the temporary tags. I can definitely see big room for fraud in that. But
well, I have to wonder as many temporary tags as I see on the road at all. It's like, okay, wait a minute.
And they're supposed to have dates.
And then there's the Texas ones that you can go to the Texas website and pay $50 or print one out. Those are not legal in Georgia, but people do it all the time. They sell them, and they sell them on Facebook and everything else.
Aren't you not supposed to leave the state while you have a temporary tag on your vehicle?
Oh no. Once you get if you buy a car and it's got insurance, a temporary tag, no, it's good.
Okay. I thought I'd heard that one time that it's not good for out of state travel.
No, I can't tell you what will happen if a law enforcement agency in another state stops you, but it's legal because it's legal here in Georgia. So it's fine.
Okay.
I did use one to bring in a vehicle from out of state, not when I lived here, but yeah, when I lived in Texas, I bought a motorcycle from North Carolina, got a paper tag, rode it back to Texas, and then registered it in Texas.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Right, and yeah, that's something else too when you buy something from out of state. Now, as far as being down here in the South, this is the golden area to buy older cars. If you start buying stuff from up north because it's a good deal, you're going to run into rust and your repair process is going to be longer, including flipping cars. So when you're trying to buy something, try to keep it something that was here that's already got a clean your state bill of health these kind of things, you know.
Watch out for that too on Mannheim and Copart, because you'll see cars, and a clue is because you're the one that told us about that, the rust. There'll be a nice Toyota on there, and for some reason the bid's only $500, but then you look and it's been in the north the whole time.
That's when I always start backpedaling. I'll see some great car and then you see the state and just
and the bid's not going up. Rick, what's wrong with that car?
Now, sometimes that can be great for you, though, because if you're looking for an interior, a dashboard, a steering column, any of this stuff, if you buy a northern car that's not worth the money, but it's got a good interior, you're going to pay less for that whole car than you would getting those parts from Pull Apart. So sometimes it's useful. But then you get into a spatial issue. You know, if you're flipping cars out of your house or trying to, you know, you can't put four parts cars in your backyard without your HOA crawling up your butt. Ask me how
that's
I know.
That's my issue, yeah.
If you have a title, though, you can take the leftovers to the scrapyard.
That's right.
A couple $100.
Yeah, well, a couple $100. The price of scrap is 3 cents a pound right now here in the state. You're going to get – I scrapped a whole Ford Explorer with the drivetrain in it and got $120. 2003 Ford Explorer, and I only got $120, a whole thing, clean title. It was just a piece of junk. That's worse than it used to be.
Oh,
so for the average buyer of a car who just wants a car to drive around and do the day-to-day thing, it still simply makes sense to be – I'm going to use the term streetwise about the entire purchase, right? I mean, you still have to keep your wits about you. You still have to check the records in the car.
And I think that, you know, at least at my shop, we do inspections for pretty cheap. If you're going to get a car, you need to get it looked at, because if there's something major that you just don't even know to look for, you know, well, the check engine light's not on. That does not mean there's not history codes in there. Right. You definitely still want to run a full scan. Mm-hmm. You want to have somebody who knows what they're doing test drive the car. You really want to make sure you're not going to get yourself a piece of junk. Now, if you're going in as a project and you have mechanical knowledge, you can take a little bit more of a risk. And especially if you know what you're talking about, you find something with some issues, it's a haggling point for you now. It doesn't dissuade you from buying it, but you're not going to pay full price for something that's not worth full price.
Right.
But as a side note, for some people like maybe me, or I have a scanner at home and I can go in and scan codes and say that there's no codes, but then somebody like Andrew could have one of those really fancy $10,000 Mac tool scanners. It's going to find...
It's an auto, but it was $10,000. It's funny you say that.
I was talking about the one Max has. I drool over this thing. And now he's got like a $30,000 one. Anyway, it can find so much more stuff. Just because you've got one of these handheld scanners doesn't mean, what is it, Actron, I think. It's only going to kind of look for surface things, I guess. It'll tell you even if the check engine light isn't on. There's something in the background pending, but it's not going to even touch it. Somebody like Andrew is going to have a great scanner, and it's going to tell you so much more. So don't rely on, hey, I have a scanner, I can tell if this car has a problem.
Andrew, do you want folks to call you if they need their car?
I don't know how wide your podcast goes. It sounds like it has a pretty wide audience, and we're pretty localized over here in Gwinnett, Georgia.
Well, definitely.
We're Grumpy Monkey Garage over here in Gwinnett. So tell them to give us a look up. And
how do folks find you, though? I mean, Facebook?
We're on Facebook. We're in the process of building a website right now, but it's time-consuming. I get so busy. I've got commercial contracts now, too, so I'm just all over the map at this current moment.
Are you trying to do it yourself?
I had to 1099 my first employee, other than Roman working with me back in the day.
Yeah.
If you want some help just getting something started, let me know.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Does this mean you're going to buy a separate commercial property for your...
I'm looking at it, but everything out where I am, and business is pretty localized, being a mechanic shop. You got to stay where your business is. Yeah. And I looked at a one-bay garage in Gwinnett County. It was $5,500 a month, and that's just ridiculous.
And there's a three-bay out in Woodstock right now. I keep going, I want that, but I don't know what they want.
Right, and the thing is, you know, a three-bay in Woodstock versus Gwinnett, the price points are going to be different because everything is location, location, location in real estate. And the economy's doing well right now, so the prices are skyrocketing and no one can afford to get into it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was grumping about off mic. But don't forget your YouTube.
That's right. I do have YouTube as well. And you can see on YouTube, I'm just working out of my house, my two-car garage.
Yeah.
And it's real fun. We have an electric company coming to us now. Bucket trucks do not fit in a two-car garage. So the side yard becomes a bucket truck paradise. My neighbors love me.
And hence his knowledge of HOA.
Well, it's really great because the neighborhood that I live in, the house was built by my parents before the HOA was there. So everyone else on the block is a member of the HOA except me.
That is awesome.
So if I want to park in the grass, guess what I'm going
to
do?
High five to your parents, too, for not going, yes, we'd like to join that.
Right.
But to protect the people, like I said, back to the thing, one thing is look at the title. Ask them to see the title, especially these people that are saying that they're private sellers. Usually can tell real quick. If they're near their house or something, but if the title's in a different name, you just have to be careful of that. That's one way to watch that they're just flipping cars.
If you ask them for ID to see their name, to see it's the same name on the title, and they get real hesitant, run away. No, don't just walk away. You need to run away.
Not just walk, run.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a problem. They're clearly up to something.
Okay. On that note, let's wrap this episode, and I'm sure there's many other things we can continue to talk about. But thank you to the listener for remaining part of the Thing About Cars family. We hope that this knowledge is useful to you, and please let us know. You know, join us in the conversation that we're having on Facebook, on our Facebook page at The Thing About Cars, or send us text messages. Sorry, not text messages. Emails.
We're giving out our private number now.
Yeah, call me. We'll have a little party at my house. You can always reach us through our website, thethingaboutcars.com, and we really love it when you become a Patreon supporter, which is patreon.com/thethingaboutcars. Thanks again for listening. We will catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.